This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Got a lot of work to do in the week, get our plan ready, and then next Saturday we're going to have a bit of fun then.
That it's not really respectful towards my team, that I think. So I will never say things like that about an opponent. So I will never say things like that about an opponent. So I will never say things like that about an opponent.
But I hear yesterday that they're going to have fun. So we're going to have fun also. So we're going to have fun also. So we're going to have fun also.
Hello there, and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on Wednesday, the 8th of May. It's a wee bit later in the week episode this week, but we've got a massive game to look forward to, as well as an excellent performance we had on Saturday against Hearts, where Celtic were victorious by 3-0. Dortmund maintaining their lead at the top of the table, going into final league derby of the season at home on Saturday. Lunchtime kickoff, so plenty to catch up on, and with the magnitude of this game, it had to be a full complement of us. So it's myself, Darren, and I'm with Danny, Tony and Andy tonight. Danny, I'll come to you as we're about halfway through the week, but most people would be still wanting to hear about that performance on Saturday, because I think the one thing that we've been calling for on here time and time again was a full performance and dominant sort of style of play, and it was as close to that as you could get on Saturday in terms of how Celtic played. I thought they were absolutely exceptional just about from start to finish.
The early goal always helped, didn't it? I mean, it helps the crowd get more into it. Parkhead was bouncing Saturday. It was a good atmosphere before the game, and when you get the early goal, it does make it a bit easier for you, and you can ease your way into the game. I thought Hearts played really well in the first half as well. I thought it was a really good game. Celtic were up for it. Hearts were up for it, and you know, they had about two corners before we scored, and then the second goal was just a bucket up between O'Reilly and Kyogo. I mean, it was just outstanding. And the second half, you know, was a real professional performance, and they seen it out, and we got the third goal. Kept a clean sheet. There was a few scary moments, but as I say, Hearts were up for it and had nothing really to lose. So it was a good game and perfect kind of preparation for what's going to come at the weekend. But it was a real pleasing performance. There was a lot of pleasing aspects. Kyogo getting a couple of goals. O'Reilly looked back to his best. McGregor looked a lot more like himself at the weekend. Forrest played really well as well. And the whole team just seemed to play. I thought Coon kind of had a bit of a poor game compared to everybody else. I'm a bit worried about him now. I think he'll come on. I'm getting any fear about Coon. I think he'll be very good next season with a full pre-season and that. But I just thought in the first half, he was like the only one that didn't quite have the belief turned up like the rest of them. They were trying a lot of things. It was getting to him and it was kind of breaking down. But we were talking about how nervous it is and how kind of you're looking over your shoulder, and you know, against NDA for the last 10 minutes, you're thinking, God, Dawn, he's just kind of one dangerous cross and we've lost a goal. But You know, it was a really professional performance on Saturday. And I said I would take, I think I said I'd take 4 or 5 2-1s like Dundee, but I'll take another few of the 3-0s every week because it's probably close to as a complete performance as what we've seen for this team all season. And, you know, that a long, long way to go, but they seem to really have had a bit of form at the right time done.
I definitely, I know, funnily enough, a lot of people think one of our other better performances was the game at Tynecastle where we won 4-1 against Hearts. And I just thought, I says to you in the chat, the weekend I thought it was by far and away the best we've played this season. I thought, you know, they had a chance in the first minute through Shankland and Carter Vickers done excellent to block it. And obviously, if that gets in, they may change the complexion of the game. But I agree, I thought Hearts were really having a go at us. I think they must have had 4 or 5 corners in the first 15, 20 minutes. They seemed to really come and look to disrupt our title challenge. And I think you're right about the atmosphere was brilliant. I was there in an off stand and it was just part of us bouncing. You're right, as early goal does help settle you and keep the sort of feeling about the stadium going. I thought it was the lofted ball back in from Rio Hatate after the initial corner was cleared, but I thought it was just genius. I thought Hatate was absolutely superb, especially in the first half. But it's just, like, I know some people maybe thought it was a shot that was a bit scuffed, but I think it's just so deliberate and so perfectly lofted in Kyogo. It's away well. I've said it on here. I know I took some stick up pulling up his away record, but Kyogo's home record this season's been phenomenal. And big goals he's been scoring is I know he's not scored as many goals this season, but he's still been our main man. And I thought the midfield in general was really good. I thought Hatate and O'Reilly were excellent in the first half. McGregor much more at it. I heard Rodgers in his press conference before the game last week saying they'd sort of altered the preparation and managing the McGregor's injury. I think they'd possibly been, like, that's probably why he looked his leg. He'd probably been doing too much to try and get back to fitness. And I think you could see he was a bit more sharper and lighter on his feet. None more so than when he chased back Vargas in the second half and was cheered like another goal. I love moments like that because it's just such a boost for the crowd. It's such a boost for McGregor. And I just love seeing a tackle getting cheered like that. I know Kyogo had one as well near the halfway line in the second half that get rapturous applause as well. But aye, that second goal that Kyogo scored was just superb. Like, it's something I don't think we do enough of where we utilise Kyogo making these runs in behind, but O'Reilly plays a phenomenal ball and Kyogo gets himself in the position, but he still has to make the great connection with it. I know he didn't have the most power in it, but it's just placed so well that Xander Clark had next to no chance with it. And I just thought the amount of times that the crowd were sort of lifted off their feet and were just applauding the style of play, it was just brilliant and it really was needed. It was like the polar opposite of what it was like against Hearts in December. Like, the team really have came alive. Like, Rodgers has been spot on in everything he said in the last few months about the team coming alive and playing well. And we kept it going into the second half. And I know Xander Clark made a great double save, I think, just before the hour mark. And I think if one of them had went in, I think it was Hatate and O'Reilly that it was saved from. If one of them went, we probably do run out 4 or 5 easy. But then, sort of last 20 minutes, Hearts came back in it slightly. I think that Oda went through. What if I would Greg Taylor on the halfway line, to be fair, before it, but he went through and Joe Hart made a great save and he was really important. He made a great save for Cammy Devlin in the first half as well. I think everything's just sort of clicked into place. Like, even Hart announced his retirement, it feels like even that's sort of united everybody and nobody's going on about, oh, Hart can't be our number one long term. And it's like the players all seem to be pulling together and pulling this off, and look, there's still a long way to go. We've got 3 massive league games to go and none more so than a Saturday, but a Saturday was just such a great performance and the team deserved all the acclaim and applause that they got. Corey, I know you made it over for this one. What was your thoughts on it?
Aye, I did. Yep, blew in on Friday night. Ripped the ass with it. Was in a casino to have 4 on a Saturday morning before deciding probably should go up the road for the game, but I made the game. And, you know, the first 20 minutes, I thought Hearts were the better team, even though we went 2-0 up, and I thought, we've not really done anything yet, which was positive to kind of suck up the pressure and deal with it for a change. And I thought Cameron Carter-Vickers was brilliant. I thought he was just clearing everything. I think that's probably just him in general. The 2 goals are great. O'Reilly's ball, I feel as though it's still in there, to be honest, thinking back, but it's a great finish. And 2-0, you fancy, is really, to go on and and won it. So, but then there's always a nerve because we have thrown away leads this season. It's well documented, especially at home. But I thought Joe Hart, when we needed him, he was there. He's been excellent for a long time now, and hopefully that can continue for the next four games. Callum McGregor looked like Callum McGregor, which is always a fucking great thing to see. Maeda coming back on, rapturous applause for him, and he doesn't look as though he's lost any pace or anything like that. He looks as though he has made a full recovery, which is fucking quite astonishing, to be honest. But no, I've said in this podcast, and people that listen all the time probably heard me say it 50 times, we've no done anything right this season. But that Saturday was, we owed Hearts one, and we decided we were going to give them it, and we did. And we put on a really professional performance. And it is our best performance of the season so far, because it's come at such an important time. But I think a lot of people in the split get made. There was games we looked at out with, obviously, Saturday's game, and went, this is a big one. I think Killy away was obviously one of the ones we looked at. But I think Hearts one of the biggest, because we now know if we win Saturday, the Killy game won't be as important, because we'll probably win the league regardless of what happens. I think most people would say that. If we win on Saturday, we'll be the champions. I think we can all comfortably say that, barring fucking something ridiculous happening. So to do that with Hearts, I thought, was really impressive. And it could have been more. And I think you just need to give the team a bit of credit. Just happy. I thought Matt Riley's penalty was just, see if you could pick a spot, you probably have picked where he put it. He's playing well, so what's happening? Everything's kind of falling into place, and you're shouting yourself, God, oh fuck, something's got to grind when we play the Huns. But I think we've got somehow, if you'd have said to me after Rangers beat Hearts 5-0, we were trailing, we won at half time, the third last game of the season, if you win it, you're just about champions, I would have thought you were off your head. So we've got ourselves into a really good position. Again, it's probably like Brendan said at Ibrox the last time, we don't need to win this game, but of course we've got our fans, they've got the injuries this time, we've got, I think, just about a fully fit squad. I've seen, there's been some mad videos, I think, you have sent me, of people arguing with Jack Butland, the fans arguing with Borna Barris. It's a really, really absurd thing. So you'd like to think everything's in our favour, and Brendan seems quite relaxed. He did an interview the day with Celtic TV for about 6.5 minutes, which was quite good, just talking about the squad and it's as good a position we've been in. So it's as if he's already kind of saying we've not got any excuses here, and I don't think we have. I mean, I think if we managed to get beaten Saturday, we probably don't deserve to win the league, but huge opportunity, and that's come about because we have beat Hearts, and it would, to put three past them was great, because again, the goal difference could still come into this. We know that Rangers could beat us, fucking touch everything, touch wood, that doesn't fucking happen. But if it does, we've managed to build a goal difference, so that it would be, unless they hammered us or something ridiculous, it'll be a kind of style of coin flip. So we're in a really good place. It's just all about now trying to kick on, and basically that's got to be the message to the players. If you win on Saturday, you're the champions, and you'll then be facing your biggest rivals for the cup double, which would be a phenomenal season after all the kind of shit that's went before it. I mean, I was talking to people about that. That obviously, when they banned the Green Brigade, and then there was obviously Abada just deciding to chuck it. We all know it was external factors involved, and just the transfer windows, etc., etc. To now be in this position, it's kind of, it feels a bit too good to be true. It's like you can almost fucking touch it. So I'm looking forward to Saturday. Of course, I'm flying in the next 3 weekends, so I'm really looking forward to it. It's been good to get back over, and I'm sure the crowd will be really, really up for it. And just hopefully we just, everyone is right behind the team, and the team can feed off that, and we can get the biggest result of the season.
I definitely will come on that game in just a wee minute. Andy, just before we do, what was your thoughts on Saturday? Any standouts for you?
I think pretty much agree with most of the things that have been said so far. It's great to see Kyogo getting on the score sheet. The one with the O'Reilly sort of floated in and he's tapped in is just, it sums the both of them up. Kyogo at his best, and that's just outstanding for O'Reilly. He's got that in the locker. I thought McGregor was brilliant. Really sort of silenced a lot of doubt that was floating about how fit he was and how up to speed he was. And it's all you want to see is your captain and McGregor playing at that level. Atati, I know you mentioned that Darn was had another really good game. I agree with Danny said about Cooney, he was quiet, wasn't he looking great, but he's been like that. He's not really had any sort of level of consistency. He's been 1 minute looking brilliant and really looking effective at cutting in and going to the byline, putting good balls in the box, and then the next minute he's just completely anonymous in games and floating in and out, but I hope that sort of passes. But I thought we really did look the best or the closest we've been all season to a sort of complete 90 minutes. He had good performance. I agree with Tony, maybe the start of the game, if I was being sort of pernickety and really picky, and I would say sort of first 10, 15, we were a bit cagey and Hearts had probably the best of their possession at that point. But I mean, you could just put that down to the sort of the magnitude of the game and Hearts coming with sort of nothing to lose, no fear and all that sort of malarkey. Like, maybe it was down to these things, but I think that can happen in big games and in games like that. As we know, obviously, ahead of Rangers, how many times you just say to people that you want to get through the first 10 minutes, and in games of that magnitude, regardless of who they're against, can be like that. But I think on the whole, that's as close as I've seen as all season to putting together 90 minutes. Yes, good, solid performance. We go to half-time at 2-0 and I was just sitting just saying, please just don't come out and do what we've done all season and just look like a completely different team. I mean, we didn't. Granted, we obviously scored two in the first half and only the one in the second half, but we could have scored more. And again, it was good to get guys like Maeda on the pitch. And I agree with Tony, he doesn't look like a guy that's just returned for an injury, supposed to put him out for the season. He was just buzzing about the place. Ida, again, he's a guy that's come on. I thought he played pretty well, only featured for whatever it was, 20-25 minutes. Can't remember exactly the amount of time he was on the pitch, but I thought he'd done reasonably well for the time that he was on. It was just brilliant to see he's really put in that performance and keep a clean sheet, which is hugely important. And obviously, we conceded against Dundee, you conceded a few against Aberdeen. It's a clean sheet sort of invaluable, especially at home and with a goal difference. We know if things touch wood, but if they did go the worst, it could come down to goal difference. So massive, absolutely massive to come away with a clean sheet and get a few goals. But we did, we owed Hearts one and we gave them it. And hopefully that just sets us up for the weekend and puts confidence into the players and we can go and get the result that we need.
Definitely. And we'll move on to that big game now. Celtic go into it after 35 matches played in the league on 84 points. Rangers trail 3 points behind with 81. Celtic also have a superior goal difference of 5, better than what Rangers do. Danny, how come you? It is really the time for Celtic to, Rodgers has been on about writing their own story. We can, as Tony said, all but crown ourselves champions by getting a victory on Saturday. Is that the sort of approach you'd be going for? Or do you sort of need to be a bit more cautious? Because I know a lot of people seem confident and like you've got every right to have beaten them twice this season and drew one game that we probably should have seen out as well. But as much as we've got a 5 better goal difference, if the nightmare scenario were to happen and Rangers were to win, their goal difference would go up as ours went down. So what's your thoughts going on in this one and how are you feeling going on in this, the last league derby of the season?
I'm pretty confident given the performance on Saturday, but obviously, it's a massive game, isn't it? And Rodgers seems to, the only team he seems to have prepared properly for all season, like the Rangers, he seems to have got their number, so it bodes well, but obviously, it's a massive game and the nerves will kick in. And obviously, not an each draw suits us, but I really don't want it to be not an each with 20 minutes to go, because you're stuck in that, do you go for the win and risk getting caught out of the battle, do you shut up shop, which we don't seem to be able to do anyway. Thankfully, I don't think it will be not an extra 2 minutes to go, but it's Tony was saying, you know, Rodgers might come out and say we don't need to win, but they should be treating it like they're 3 behind Rangers. You know, we should be treating it like they're 3 behind them and we need to try and claw back the gap, because we should look to go out and blow them away. We're at Parkhead, there's going to be 60,000 Celtic fans there, there's not going to be any of them, and we need to make it, the fans will make it as uncomfortable as possible for them, and the players need to respond to that, and they need to take their role in that. Kind of like the Ange game when Hitati scored after a couple of minutes. We need to kind of replicate that and blow them away in the first half. But not really been able to get away from them. I mean, we're 2-0 and up and a man up at New Year and end up hanging on for dear life at 2-1, and then we go 2-0 and up, and then they get their, you know, obligatory penalty to get them back into the game. You know, you end up conceding an equaliser, you score again, and then they score again, and you're getting away with a 3 each, and you're at the back. I mean, it's all worked out now, obviously, what's happened in the last few weeks, but when we were second in the league, we were talking about getting to this game with being within 3 points of Rangers, because we need to win it to go tap, and now we can win it to go 6 clear with 6 to play for, and if we beat them, we'll have at least 6 goals, because we'll beat them by at least 1, so we'll have at least a kind of 6-7 goal, I think, aye, whatever, goal difference, which is another point at this stage of the season. So a win would just, I mean, it would seal it. So it's exciting. It's really exciting. But obviously there's nerves as well. But as I say, we were talking about getting to this game with a chance to beat them and go clear. Players have got to relish the chance to beat them and effectively secure the league. It's just a pity we can't date officially, but I'm confident for Saturday. I think the previous three fixtures, the way they've gone, they don't really seem to have had any joy off us, like through kind of patterns of play or anything like that. Like, they've scored three times against us this season, I think. Four times. Tavernier scored a free kick, which, you know, he's been saving for Parkhead the last couple of seasons, but you look at their goal against us in the free each game, one's a penalty, the other one's a deflection, and then they've got a worldie for Matondo. Because, you know, we've not seen him down the line, we've showed him inside. So it's not as if they've opened us up for that. We seem to have dominated the games and run the games. So hopefully we see more of the same on Saturday. I think McGregor, that tackle you're talking about, like, I actually was more impressed with the second tackle because he seemed to be half balanced after he made the first. He looks back to that form, which we know, and he dominates these games. He's been doing it for so long, but he done it twice this season already. He'll be up for it. He sets the tone for me in the middle of the park, and the rest, pretty confident, Darren, that the rest of the team will follow. This is what we all wanted, innit? I mean, this is why we all support Celtic to do our ringer against them, and this is what it's all about. And if you'd have said to us at the start of the season, you know, you'll play them at Parkhead to effectively win the league, you'd have took it, and you certainly would have took it 5-6 weeks ago. So we're in a great position, but we just need to see it out now. And I think, as I say, I think we've turned a corner since that Motherwell game. I think we've been really good. And Andy's right, it was maybe a complete performance on Saturday, so hopefully they can keep. We need another complete performance on Saturday coming. But one guy is going to get it for us. It's going to be Rodgers. He seems to have, you know, he's at every Rangers manager's number, really. And he seems to, you know, the two games that he's had against Clermont, he seems to really have won them tactically. So hopefully we see Mary same on Saturday, and we're all talking about what a great victory we've got come half two on Saturday.
Aye, definitely. I think the main man you mentioned there is Rodgers. I think that he was obviously a controversial appointment when he came back. A lot of people will never forgive him for the way he left the first time, but the one thing nobody will dispute is his record against Rangers and his record in these Derby games. And you're right, with the highs and lows we've had this season, he has always had the team well prepared. He's out talking, he seems confident. He's like, I watched that interview Tony was talking about earlier on Celtic TV, and he's saying this is as good as the squad's looked. I think he's sort of challenging them to go out and then seal that title. He obviously got under Clermont's skin as well with a throwaway comment about having fun on Saturday, and I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's great at managing the players and managing what he says to the media as well. And I'm really confident. I'm voting else because, as I say, I worry the nightmare scenario happens, and you do worry because there's only two games to then sort it, and they've obviously got Dundee and Hearts, and we've obviously got that tricky game at Rugby Park coming up as well. So I just love to all but secure it on Saturday. I think that the team's in a great place. I think especially with McGregor having that performance on Saturday, I think it just takes away any sort of debate about should possibly Tomoki Iwata come in. And that might be harsh on Iwata because he has played well when he was deputising for McGregor, but I think the midfield's nailed on, the defence is nailed on, and I think two of the three attacking places are nailed on as well. I think that I'm almost certain Dyson Maeda will come in, Kyogo will be the one that starts, and then it's just really Dooney who Rodgers wants to go away between Nicholas Coon and James Forrest, I reckon. But the game's massive. Like, you, when he's mentioned that they're, like, everything seems to be going wrong for them. They obviously went behind on Sunday and then were able to overcome it after a penalty and a red card was issued, but they seem to be on the brink of implosion. As you said, like, Barisic and Butland have been arguing with their own supporters, and by all accounts that there is a lot of unrest and they want rid of probably about 60% of their team. Whereas as much as we've had ups and downs this season, everybody is united and going the same way. The team, everybody, like, seems to love the team, like, in terms of a very likeable team that works hard and is all pulling in the one direction. So I'm hopeful. I think the first goal will be crucial on Saturday. I think if we get it, their heads might just completely go, and we hopefully it'll be similar to that one under Rodgers where we beat them 5-0 to win the title. if we get a 0-0, I'm not going to be complaining. We've still been in a massively advantageous position the last two games, but I think a win just sort of puts it to bed and you can finally relax for a fortnight before the cup final. But it's one I'm really looking forward to. It'll obviously be unique in the terms that it'll be the last league game we know away fans for probably a wee while, unless they take the huff again and reduce or completely remove allocations. But Tony, what's your thoughts going in? It is just a massive game and we are ahead, but it's an amazing opportunity for these players to, as I said, Rodgers has mentioned, writing their own story. They'd be all but writing the final line in this league season if they get victory on Saturday.
Oh, if they win on Saturday, the story's wrote, regardless of what happens in the cup final, I think the story would be wrote that we've won the league, which is the most important thing. Obviously, cup final take care of itself whenever we get to that, but I'm struggling to even think off to on Saturday. And as Mad Danny was saying, they were thinking we're going to this game 2 points behind. And I was quite confident 2 points behind, but see now that we're so close, they're fucking terrified. I think it's because you're just so close now, I think. Look, Brendan's done great in these games, and he said big games against them before that seal titles and seal cup finals that you know are going to get you a treble, etc., and he's come up trumps. So look, and I think for him, as much as you're saying a lot of fans haven't forgiven him, and a lot haven't, if he wins the league, then there's a lot of people that are just going to need to say, you know what, he's the best man for the job. He's done what his job is. And I know we were talking about European stuff and we want to be better and our ambition can't just be to beat the Huns. But when you're this close, you forget how fucking much you enjoy beating them and how much you want to. And I know that's kind of gone against, but obviously I want us to be a much better club in a European standpoint. But I think the fans will sing his name if he wins on Saturday. I think most of them will anyway. I think that would be the kind of final writing in the sand about how he left the last time. So, I think it's the whole, we'll have some fun next weekend. I mean, football's a game, it's meant to be fun. I really don't think that was meant to be an insult or anything. And I listened to Clement saying in one presser, I'd never say that about an opponent. And then another one, he says, oh, we're going to have fun next week as well. I'm thinking, well, you need to make your fucking mind up. But, aye, look, it's a great opportunity. We've got players that have been there and done it before, that have won the titles. Obviously, when we had Big Ange, and obviously Callum's done it under Ange, Lennon, Dyla, fucking Brendan twice. So it's really just be professional. Make sure you're getting your passes off, pressing properly. So just do the basics right, and the crowd will be right behind you. I mean, somebody said that, I think it was Darren, the first goal is crucial. It is, because as much as we say about, oh, their fans will turn if you can get the goal first at Ibrox, your fans can turn as well. If you somehow we find ourselves behind and we fucking somebody launches a ball out of play, it's not going to be everybody singing and dancing. It's going to be, oh, for fuck's sake, kind of thing. So we need to be careful. And no, I'd be lying if I say I'm not shape myself for it. I'd be happy with a draw, I must admit, but as Danny says, I wouldn't like to be getting into the last fucking 5 minutes that's one each or 0-0. You would be fucking terrified. But aye, look, it's a good position to be in. I've said in this podcast many times that I thought Rangers would win the league. I think I don't know how many times I've said that. I'm desperate that come the next time you're on here, I'm on apologising and saying I was talking shite. I would love nothing more than to be able to do that. So it's a mix. I mean, you know, it's just because you're so close. Nerves are just normal, I suppose.
Aye, definitely. Speaking of nerves, Andy, how are you feeling in it and what's your thoughts on it? As I think a few years I mentioned, a draw wouldn't be a terrible result, but massive opportunity for the team to all but seal three in a row.
I think I've been a bit like most people. One minute I'm really confident and I fancy turning them over, and then the next that sort of doubt creeps in, because you know, these games are light, they can, anything can happen, referees can play an influence, players can do things that are stupid, like, anything can happen. But I think on where I'm at the news, I'm confident in Rodgers, to be honest. I'm confident in Rodgers in these games. I think he gets it right. I think he's in Clement's head. I really do. I think that comment and the way he's responded, some of the stuff he's been coming out with, is fucking frankly ridiculous. And I've said, even all along, to be fair, I just don't think they're a great side at all. I really don't. I think they are there for the taking, and they're there that if the both of your teams turn up and play their best football, and I mean, this has been true all season, if both teams turn up and play, every player on that pitch plays to their level and plays to their capability, we beat them. That's what it's about. It's about us and it's about how we perform. And I think that if we go in and we get it right and the players are up for it, you've got guys like McGregor, Onsong, you've got Kyogo on song, Hitati on song, O'Reilly. Like, if that happens, then we'll go in and we'll win that game. And I think that's what it's about. And my faith's in Rodgers for this. I know he's split opinion. I know people have, there's been a lot said about him and blah, 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 and all the rest of the shite. But the one thing that absolutely nobody can say about him is nobody can doubt what he's all about in these games, and he knows what these games mean, and he knows how to get it right. And I've got faith that he will. And I'm really more and more leaning on the side of being confident, granted. And I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be cagey. That can happen. But I mean, more than anything, just don't lose the game. But I do think that we'll go in and fancy taking a few goals off them. Maybe the days are rattling them 5-1 and 4-0, whatever else are gone. But I think we'll fancy our chances to go and stick a few goals by that defence, especially with Maida coming back and looking as if he's sort of no missed a minute in terms of fitness. And obviously, I know they've got their injury problems. Goldson sort of Seema's missing and whatever else. I think that'll sort of make us fancy it that bit more. So I am getting more confident as time goes on. And don't get me wrong, you could probably ask me Saturday morning, they'll tell you that I'm absolutely shite myself and that I'll just want it there with a draw. But as of right now, I'm pretty confident, and I think that I've just got supreme confidence in the manager to go and get it right. You'll know need to get the players up for it. They know what it means. They've pretty much the majority of the squad's been here, seen it and done it. They know what it means. But when it comes down to getting it right, getting tactics and the way to go about your business in these games right, I think we couldn't really be better placed with Rodgers being in the dugout to do that for us. So I'm pretty confident getting the game done, and I think that we'll hopefully be on here after it pretty much celebrating a title win.
Aye, definitely, and I think that the Fouriers are pretty confident, and I think we're right to be. I think Danny mentioned it. From Fir Park onwards, the team have played really well. We had that one at Tynecastle that I don't think you can really consider, but it is probably the best sort of form we've had over a sustained period since Rodgers has been back. But Danny, just before I take your prediction, as I say, I think 10 out of the 11 starters are nailed on. I think the only debate is between Nicholas Coon and James Forrest. It's a sort of it's a tough one for me. I've gave James Forrest a lot of criticism over the years, but the last few games he's had a positive impact. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a nod on Saturday, but at the same time, when you bring a guy like Nicholas Coon in for a good couple of million, you need to get him in these games to see if he can make the impact. It could be the sort of making of him, so it's sort of the future, but at the same time, you've got somebody like Forrest who is continuing to make an impact, being one of the senior members of the squad. Who would you be lining up with on Saturday, or is there any other changes you would make?
No, I think we've got probably the same 10. I would play Forrest rather than Coon. Felt quite sorry for Coon at Ibrox because he was up against Sterling, who's a bit of an athlete. I'd imagine Maida playing the left so he could get it to Tavernier, but also it's Sterling if he plays in the right wing. Maida can track both of them back, Taylor as well. If it was going to be that Yilmaz or Barisic at left back, I'd be tempted to play Coon, but Forrest has just been so good since he came in. And there was me on preaching that on a roll for him coming off the bench, and we don't need to start him, but he started the last two games, he's played well. So I think you start Forrest and you just give him the ball and let him run at Barisic or Yilmaz, whatever one it is, put them under pressure. It's either Barisic, who's a bag of nerves anyway, or Yilmaz coming back from injury, so you just need to give Forrest the ball. Coon's more likely to try and turn them inside out, whereas Forrest will just run at them and hopefully get by them most of the time he does. Maida is the first name in the team sheet for me when it comes to these games. He takes an awful lot of their attacking threat through Tavernier out of the game, which is good. So I'm probably on the same team. I would play Forrest. I like Coon. I do like Coon. I see a player there because to me, I think he's playing with an East there. I don't think I've seen him put his foot through a ball since he got here. It reminds me of Paddy Roberts in so many ways. Where Roberts, when he's on song, was unbelievable. But Roberts had a lot of games where he was kind of on the edge of the game. And I think Coon had a good run of form. I think he started with the Livingston game at home in the Cup. And he had a good run of form for about 5 or 6 weeks where he really did, you know, put his cell in position to like start every week. But Forrest has been a breath of fresh air this season since he came in. And he keeps doing it. You keep thinking he's out the door and he comes back, and as I say, I thought he'd fun his role coming off the bench and being direct, but he's transferred that into like a full performance. I mean, he played most of the game on Saturday. He gave that boy, is it Lembergisa, he gave him a bit of doing on Saturday. Hopefully he can transfer it across the pitch to whoever they play left back on on Sunday, but Kuno will still have a big role. I'd imagine he'll bring him on, but so will Palma. I thought Palma had a good game against in December as well. His use of the ball in that game was really good, but I would go for, I mean, Baeda's got to play considering what he did the last time, and I think he will pump for Forrest. Been bigging Forrest up all season. He was telling us he's the best winger at the club. Forrest hadn't played fucking months, so he plays Forrest, and can't believe I'm saying this, Dan, but I don't know if you agree. You can't bring a grudge, James Forrest, to start this Celtic team, can you?
Definitely no, and it's one of them that I'm delighted to meet in Humble Pie, because you're right, he's just been superb since he's come back in a team, and a lot of that goes down to Rodgers keeping him in about the team and praising him throughout the season, even when he seemed to be nowhere near it. And Forrest himself, I think it was mentioned on here last week, for keeping himself fit, keeping himself fresh and delivering it. And I think you're right, even it's not just the sub appearances now, it was that from the start against Dundee and from the start against Hearts, like he's, I think he deserves a start. And I like Nicholas Kuhn as well, but you know what, it's one of the ones, whatever one doesn't start, the other one's probably going to come off the bench about 60, 70 minutes in and can still make an impact. The game could still be in the balance at that point. Tony, what would you be making any changes? I know, well, I'm just thinking back, our group chat sort of erupted in shock and surprise about a year and a half ago when we went to Ibrox under Ange and James Forrest got the nod that day. We may drew to each with him, but are you hoping to see James Forrest in the starting lineup this Saturday?
Yeah, it was fucking rubbish that game. But look, I mean, Jesus, I can't believe I'm saying this. May 2024, title decider against Rangers. But I think James Forrest has got to start. I mean, I think he's done well. Don't get me wrong, I thought Palmer was good off the bench the other day. I think they'll all play their parts. I think the four wingers will definitely play their parts at some point. But I think Forrest and Maeda probably get a shout for me. And I think your subs are probably, unless there's injuries, either will come on for Kyogo, Maeda or Forrest will switch, and Kunin Palma obviously switch. We Maeda and Forrest, and you probably see Awat and Bernardo coming on. So I think he will go with Forrest. I don't know what he's done with him, but he's went for somebody you go, fuck, to kind of, when he's coming on, you're going, oh, you're going to get a bit of output, you're going to get a contribution here. And I think he's been really good, and he deserves all the credit in the world. He's never had any real issues with him, and he's just keep his head down. And aye, best of luck to him. Hopefully this is maybe a send-off for him, if that's the way it's looking, and it would be some way to go with a victory on Saturday. So no, I might as well give you the team, I think. I guess it'll be Hart, Taylor, Scales, Vickers, Johnson, McGregor, Hitati, O'Reilly, Maeda, Kyogo, Forrest, and then these subs will all make an appearance at some point. I don't know how they'll line up, because I'm not sure if Balogun's actually fit or not. He came off injured. I know Goldson and Seymour, the big guy Seymour, seem quite a productive guy, so I'm glad he's not playing. So you weren't a prediction yet?
Aye, go for it. You can start as well, predictions.
You know, I've not predicted us to beat them yet this season, and I'm gonna stick with that. I'm gonna go for 0-0 after what Danny said. So I'm gonna go for a 0-0 draw, which will put one hand in the title. So that's a dreadfully boring prediction, but I'm being slightly superstitious, and I'm gonna go for 0-0.
Fair that when you said 5-0 Edward Hattrick every week, but I would certainly take a 0-0 if you could blink and it be done. Andy, what would your team be? And I'll take your prediction as well. Who do you think's gonna make a difference on Saturday?
I think, I mean, the majority of the team does sort of pick itself. I think we know that. In terms of the back line, it'll be the same. The midfield three will be the same. I think it's really only down to the wide men. If you'd asked me before Hearts, obviously we knew that Maeda was back and sort of fit enough to be about the team and on the bench. But given what we've seen off the bench, I think he's probably still really no lost any sort of fitness in terms of that. He looks as if he could start and sort of be the same player that was buzzing about Ibrox and buzzing Tavernier, he absolutely shit himself and he can arse it. But so I think he's probably going to start with Maeda. I don't think there's any real reason not to, unless there's been anything in training or Maeda himself doesn't feel fit enough. But I wouldn't imagine that would be the case, just based after that sort of cameo in the Hearts game. And to be honest, I think he's one of them. Like, even his name in the team sheet and his. And him, and I mean, if he does start, he'll be at left. I think Tavernier seeing that probably just changes his entire game. I think if it's anybody else, he's going to look to get forward a bit more, and he probably will get a bit more joy about that. But I think he's got to be there. Just even from a mental point of view, being up against him would just be a fucking nightmare, and I think you'll see that. But I think Maeda will start, and then the other side, I definitely think that Forrest's been far better than anybody could have predicted, to be honest with you. for when he's sort of came back in, essentially at the cold. I know he's been about the squad and he's featured a wee bit here and there, but for the sort of tail end of last year, right through to what Mark, he was either on the bench or not on the squad at all, and then he slowly but surely sort of played himself into contention. Now he's starting games and playing really well. He's probably played as well into a starting spot. I think as well, I think it'll be Yilmaz they put at left back. I don't think they'll start Barisic against us. I think they favour Yilmaz particularly in that game. But I think no matter who it is, we and they have got to fancy having a go at them, because I don't think him or they're that great defensively. So I think it'll be Forrest. But I also wouldn't be really annoyed at Kun, to see he's sometimes he's been anonymous, but other times I've thought there's a player there and he does things sometimes which he looks dangerous. He's happy to go to the byline, put the ball in, and he's happy to cut in inside when he's out on the right. And I think he's also sometimes get a pretty good delivery. I mean, our wingers really lack in that at times, whether it's sort of Maeda, Palmer, whoever it may be. I think his delivery's probably looked like one of the better ones in the squad, and he likes that sort of ball just out of the back line, sort of dropping in for a guy like Kyogo, and they'll thrive in that because you're going to get more space across the back against Rangers than you will anywhere else. But I would agree with, I think it was Danny that said it there, that against Rangers it was, he could put against Sterling, and I don't think it was the ideal matchup. I think he would get a lot more joy out of one of their sort of traditional left backs. I think Sterling, I think, is one of probably Rangers' better players, but he is an athlete and not at the same level, but he's got that sort of Maeda part about him where he'll just keep going, and he's quite quick and quite pacey and use his body. And I don't really think Kun had the answers for it, but I think against one of their sort of more traditional left backs, who I don't think either of them are that great defensively, he would get a lot more joy out of. But I think I'm leaning towards it'll be Forrest that starts, but I wouldn't be massively shocked if it was Kun, but also I wouldn't be too disappointed, because I think whoever it is will get joy at them, because I think the instruction will be just go at them, just get at them. And you're always going to have Johnston sort of on the overlap on the right-hand side as well. And I think he's picked up his performances as well, because he, for a large part of this season, was taking criticism, wasn't he, putting in too many great performances. But I think he's started to pick up again, and I don't think that's a coincidence that it's been because, one, we've picked up, but two, our wingers in Forest have sort of come back in as well, and they're putting in good performances as well. I think that's sort of coincided with that, and him having a bit more confidence with whoever's either in front of him or out of his side. But I think that'll be the sort of the lineup we go for, Darren. But I don't think there'll be too many surprises. I think most people sort of know what the manager's going to do.
And what's your prediction?
I'm going to go 3-0. Pretty confident that I've got full belief in the manager, and the manager getting this absolutely bang on. I think he's setting it up for us, and he's just setting it up, and it's just the story's been written by us here. And I've just got confidence in the manager and the team to go and get this right and sort of put a show on for the 60,000 that'll be in the ground.
Do you know, I fancy 3-0 as well, and I'm going to stick with you there. As I said earlier, I think Forrest will get the nod, and deservedly so. I think he might open the scoring, and Kyogo will add to it before Adam Ida comes off the bench and gets the third. And I think we'll all be celebrating come half two on Saturday lunchtime. Danny, I know you gave us your team, but what's your score prediction? And is it going to be Clement or Alex Ray that's charged for breaching the Hate Speech Act brought in by abusing Rodgers for getting under their skin so much?
Darren, you'll know this more than anybody else, but I want Alex Ray to have a David Weir moment Saturday, but Clement has lost the place. He's lost it on himself. He's out arguing with journalists. He's, Tony's right. He says, I don't speak about myself to that, but then Weir of as well. He's completely lost the plot. So much so, I think they're all at it. Like, I think it's what I was. I don't think they're smart enough to fool us, but I can't believe how stupid he is. And he's fell right into place where he is. He seems to fit the MRT. He just talks utter fucking nonsense. And he's, every time he speaks, I get more and more confident about beating him every time I hear him speak. But enough about that. A prediction, I don't know. I think we'll beat them. I think if we score early, the floodgates could open up and we could take a few off them. Because they're from, I remember when we were talking about the Dundee game, when they played Dundee and we were talking about it in the chat, that I said we would put them at their misery in the 11th. But now, as Tony said, it's coming up, you're starting to shit yourself. But I do think we'll beat them. I think if we score early, give the crowd a reason to continue the kind of party atmosphere at the start. It could be a long and comfortable afternoon for them. But then, you know, if they nick a goal, early, it could be long and uncomfortable for us. But I'll say 4-1. I think we'll score two in the first half, and then I think they'll pull one back, but we'll pull away with a couple of late goals. And Kyogo will score. You know what? Kyogo's going to get a hat-trick against them, and Ida will get the fourth, and they'll get a penalty. But I just don't think we'll get beat. I didn't think we'd get beat going to Ibrox, and I don't think we'll get beat on Saturday. And I just pray that we get an early goal and really, really make it uncomfortable for them, because the way things have been going in the last couple of weeks for them, the last thing they need is 60,000 Celtic fans with something to cheer about after a couple of minutes on Saturday. So I hope that's exactly what they get.
Oh, well, there you go. That's three predictions of a 3-goal Celtic win, and Tony Gein is a 0-0. So hopefully one of us three is right, and we'll be back here next week discussing the champions elect. But either way, we will be back after that massive game. Keep an eye on our social media. Just search for Full Times a Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You'll find us. I know it's another long episode, so thanks very much if you've made it through. We appreciate everybody is taking the time to listen. Cheers, we will speak to you next week. And a message for Phil Clement, just remember that Brendan's boys just want to have fun, and hopefully they will on Saturday. We'll speak to you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.